urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, my beautiful day here in Philadelphia. It's March 10th, 2025. Can you believe it? And the weather is sunny. It's gorgeous. I mean, we went from cold to this, and I hope and pray that we continue to have nice weather. But on this day, let us pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we offer this program up to you. We pray that all those who are listening today, that you will heal them, hear them, and bless them in a very special way. We pray today for all the people who are still suffering in California from the wildfires and now Myrtle Beach and Long Island. We pray for all those around the country who have suffered so much from this and are homeless and penniless. We pray, Jesus, for your abundant graces for people to step up and help them. We pray for all those who are sick and infirmed who are listening today. I know COVID's going around, RSV, pneumonia, the flu. Well, I pray for all those who are sick today, those who are elderly in nursing homes who maybe you're alone and you have no one to help you. I pray that someone will come and knock on your door and help you. We pray that this program is a special program for you today. And we pray in Our Lady's loving, loving Immaculate Heart that she will touch everyone who is listening also. So in Jesus, in your Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we offer this program up to you and to bless all those who listen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, are you ready? So here's the program theme today. I'm not sure some of you will like it. I think you'll love it. It's called Facing Life as It Is, How to Become a Person of Spiritual Influence. How often I hear in all the years of ministry, you know, people say, I don't know how to become a person of spiritual influence. How can I touch the lives of others? Never mind. Say, your life is a mess. How in the world could God possibly use you when your life is a mess? So we're going to go through a step-by-step journey today. So if you know anyone who's saying, my life is a mess, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to get out of this sand trap, Lord, help me. Give them a call. Tell them to tune in to this radio broadcast. I'm laughing because I'm thinking of my nephew who was at the Man Up Philadelphia conference on Saturday, and he was telling all these new people that he was meeting to listen to the In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, and to me, his aunt, like, listen and call in. I said, David, I don't take call-ins at this point, but Kathleen does and all the other broadcasters. So we started laughing, and he was texting back and forth. Now, David works for a major network, CBS, so he's a 30-year-old single guy who is praying for the Lord's discernment, and God love him, at Man Up Philadelphia, which was held at Cardinal O'Hara on Saturday. He was really touched by all the speakers, the prayer, the people. So thank you, David. I know you can't listen because you're working. So all those who are new listeners, welcome aboard. We're going to be talking about facing life as it is to become a person of spiritual influence. Now, what is on your mind today? What's on your mind? I want you to stop, think, and pray about it. So what's on your mind? Maybe your bills, maybe a cancer diagnosis, maybe someone who passed away. Now, I want you to think about three times you were moved by tears. I want you to think three specific times lately, maybe in the last year, you were moved by tears. Really moved by tears. It could be you saw something on television, a movie, the touching hands of someone bringing you a meal when you were sick. I want you to think about it and say it out loud. three times you were moved by tears this past year. And then you decided on an action and attempted to resolve it as a result of those tears. Now, I'll be taking you on a journey to become a spiritual person of influence. How in the world could one possibly do this on radio? Radio. Well, guess what? This is the best place to do really great teaching to inspire and to motivate. Now, I want you to answer these questions out loud, no matter where you are. Are you a provider? Do you lead from behind the scenes? Do you see all the details when a problem comes up? Do you work quietly and consistently? Are you like a below the radar kind of person? Are you a petitioner? Now, in Mark 9, verse 29, the kind only come out of prayer. Are you always an advocate? Are you always representing the needs of others through prayer? Are you always taking on the tough ministries like addicts and inmates and people who are down and out? Are you spiritually in tune, really, when you're doing this? Are you a preparer? Do you have a heart of a teacher? Do you always want to give away everything you learn and have? Do you love the library, research on the internet, learning? Yeah. Now, if you go to Acts 18 in the sacred scriptures, verses 24 to 28, Priscilla had a heart of preparation and of being a preparer. Do you have the patience to teach and the conviction to teach others? Or are you a proclaimer? I'd be willing to bet a lot of our listeners are proclaimers. In Acts 20, 27, I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Do you love to talk? Do you love meeting new people? Do you really have strong verbal skills? Does God raise proclaimers out of obscurity? I want you to answer that question. Or are you a praiser, like praise? In Hebrews 10, verses 24, let us consider how we spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Do you lead by encouragement? Do you coach others toward success? Are you children of praisers? Do you have great self-esteem? Maybe your mom and dad, your grandparents, your godparents were children of praisers. Or are you optimistic that some people feel intimidated? Now, Miriam in the sacred scriptures was a praiser. Did you know that? That's in Exodus 15, verses 20 to 21. She was a woman who led, and she must have answered her own questions on the role of women in leadership. Really? Do you know anything about Miriam? Not many people do. Now, you may not feel qualified. You may not feel committed. And you may not feel motivated today. Really answer that question. You may not feel qualified today to do anything. You may not feel committed to do anything. And you certainly may not feel motivated to do anything. Now, I want you to step out in obedience and see yourself as God sees you. And you're going to say, well, how in the world does he see me? I can't even see myself. How does God see me? God will provide all the training and resources you need. Take it from someone who has learned the hard way. God will provide all the training and resources you need, whether you're a praiser, a proclaimer, a preparer, a petitioner, or a provider. He will provide all that you need. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you believe you're intimate with God? What does that mean? Now, the Latin, I love Latin. Latin for the intimus means innermost. God wants us to be intimate with him. Yeah. not just spur off prayers out of our mouths and not really talk to him and listen to him. Eternal life begins the moment we are introduced to God personally. Did you know that? God's creativity is available to you, Joe, Mary, Michael, Susie, Larry. God's creativity is available to you. Now you're going to say, I am the least creative person in my family, in my prayer group, in my house. You can become God's creative person by studying his word, the sacred scriptures, by, if you're Catholic, participating in the sacraments. By the way, the sacraments are signs of his love for you. They're not cafeteria things that you do when you want to do it. They're his sacraments of love to you. Make a daily date with Jesus. What? Now, this is Lent. I love Lent. Lent is just fills my heart with joy. Make a daily date with Jesus. So, if you're busy, you get up in the morning, you got to get the kids to school, you got to get off to work, you have a crazy schedule, make a date. Even if it's 5 minutes, try to find an adoration chapel if you're Catholic. You don't have to stay for hours if you can't. 5 minute visit. Hello, Lord. I love you. I give you all my thoughts and concerns. Help me to be what you have called me to be. I want you to get a little notebook from the dollar store. A little notebook. While cleaning the house today, just for, I'm not a cleaner, but even for probably an hour, I opened a drawer. And I had all my prayer journals. I had really thrown out most of them from 30 years ago because I would need a whole room for my prayer journals, but I saved some. So I want you to go get an inexpensive prayer journal. You don't have to have one of those beautiful leather ones, and I have them, but just something to write notes to Jesus. And get yourself one Christian book. Now, you may say, I don't know what to get. Now, I'm not talking about the Bible at this point. Find one Christian book. By the way, there are so many magnificent books from the saints that you could find, or beautiful, beautiful books written by people, self-help books, but you got to be careful that are not New Age. You know, Corrie ten Boom, who was a survivor of the concentration camps. There are beautiful books out there. Just get one book, not a whole library of them. And then get a devotional book. Maybe a little devotional book you can pick up in church or ask your pastor. So you're going to get one of those inexpensive dollar store notebooks, which you'll write letters to Jesus every day, even if it's two lines. You're going to get one Christian book. You're going to ask the Lord, show me the Christian book that you want me to have. And then one devotional book. It may be the St. Louis de Montfort consecration prayer to Our Lady. I don't know what the Lord will lead you to or the Holy Spirit. All you have to do is ask. And of course, the sacred scriptures. Of course, the sacred scriptures. Now, as someone who has given retreats and motivational talks in my business life in my early, early years before switching over to ministry, I remember giving this talk. It was a motivational talk to executives. And I saved this and wrote it down. I have, again, all these pieces of paper and notes from years and years ago. So I want you to remember this. After 24 hours, you may remember only 5% of what you hear. Did you know that? So tomorrow, you'll only remember 5% of what I'm sharing today. 15% of what you read. That's why it's important to pick up the sacred scriptures, to get one Christian book and one devotional book. 35% of what you study. So if you study the sacred scriptures, you study the Catechism of the Catholic Church, you study a special devotional book like St. Louis de Montfort, you'll remember tomorrow 35% of what you study. Now, remember, if you're not studying, you're only what you hear, you only remember 5% of what I'm saying and only 15% of what you read. Now, 50% of what you see and hear. So if you take this radio broadcast, and maybe that's the beauty of being live stream, so you'll see Rita right after me, Rita Hauck, you'll remember 57% of what you see and hear from Rita or Kathleen or Ken Johnson or Father Dermot or Mike Alshaw and Dr. Anton Raimondo and Grace Marquet. If you see them, now this should be encouragement to live streaming, you'll remember 57% of what you see and hear. Now you'll remember, are you sitting down? 100% of what you memorize. Now, I don't know how many of you went to Catholic school, but I did. And I remember memorizing poem after poem after poem. And the catechism, the Baltimore Catechism, and to this day, I still remember all that. I'm not sure if schools teach memorization today, but here's a beautiful thing you can do. You can take one sacred scripture, one, and memorize it. Memorize it. Now, if you have a hard time with the scriptures and you're not sure what you're doing, just, I've shared this in every broadcast. Take one psalm and just maybe one or two lines. Memorize it because you will remember tomorrow 100% of what you memorize. Did you know that? So let's go back over what I just shared. After 24 hours, you may remember 5% of what you hear, 15% of what you read, 35% of what you study, 57% of what you see and hear, and 100% of what you memorize. Memorization is very important. To memorize the sacred scriptures is very, very, very important. Now, God wants to nurture our relationship with Him through all this. This is why I've decided today through prayer to call this Facing Life as It Is, to become a person of spiritual influence. And you think there is no way, you're not holy enough, you're a newcomer. Even if you're new in your surrender to the Lord, you're new in your faith and relationship with Christ, He will use you. He wants to form you. He is forming you. You are a person, regardless of your religious denomination, a person of spiritual influence. Now, how can you learn how to have a healthy relationship while you're on this journey to become a person of spiritual influence? You need to learn the difference between a healthy, interdependent relationship and a destructive dependence. Now, those of you who are in the 12-step programs probably know all this. Interdependence, you would be saying, I'll be there for you, Joe. I'll be there for you, Michael. I'll be there for you, Susie. I'll be there for you. I'll be there for you. You're inter. Inter means between. Interdependent. Now, if you're dependent, you would say, you can't do it without me. Wow. Isn't that powerful? You can't do it without me. That's a person who's dependent. Now, to become a personal a spiritual influence, you need to understand you've got to clip that gossip right at the top. Gossip. Because when you're a gossiper, you're not a person of spiritual influence. No. Because gossip, my friends, is the kissing cousin to criticism. Gossip is the kissing cousin to criticism. And you can't become a person of spiritual influence if you are gossip. For example, if someone shares something with you in your Bible study or your prayer group, and you share it, oh, did you know, I don't want to talk about this person, and I'm holding it in confidence, but I just wanted to let you know. Guess what? You're gossiping. Call it as it is. Gossip is the kissing cousin to criticism. Now, as crucial as a spiritual influencer is, and you want to be this person, you need to learn the difference between admonishment and criticism. Now, what in the world is admonishment? You're tuning in now. You're driving down the Schuylkill, I-95, I-85, 495. What is admonishment? Now, admonishment builds and strengthens. Really? It builds and strengthens. In Galatians 6, verse 1, it reminds us to restore gently, not smack him with a hammer. Colossians 4, verse 6, season my words with grace. That's admonishment. The second key to successful admonishment is gentle wording. I shared probably a year or two ago about a time when I had to participate in the firing of some people. And I was really upset about it. I felt that it went against every fiber of my being. And I remember praying in the wee hours of the morning, "Dear Blessed Mother, please help me. I don't want to do this. I don't like who I am. I don't like this." And I was admonished. I was admonished. And I heard, use kind words, gentle actions. Use kind words, gentle actions. And believe me, I never used kind words and gentle actions. I was the executive persona. I was trained in this. Harsh, do the job, get it over with. But I was admonished, which was a good thing. But I asked to be admonished. I asked for help. Kind words, gentle actions. So the key to successful admonishment is gentle wording. Always ready, my friends, be always ready to resolve or forgive. Now, you have to expect criticism. You have to expect it. It goes with the territory, doesn't it? It goes with your role. Because if you're an influencer, you're going to get complaints. It's not going to be a gravy train for you. It's going to be hard. Now, if you're on the front lines as a spiritual influencer, whether in your family, in your work, in your Bible study, in your prayer group, you have to take the hits. That's not easy. And that's when you want to curl up in a ball and say, I'm out of here. If you're on the front lines, you have to learn to take the hits. You have to be hospitable with your homes, with your work, by being an extension of your spiritual influence. Now, people confuse hospitality. It's not entertainment. It's an attitude of opening up your life so others can come in. So maybe there is someone who's hurting who you would like to help. And so you're opening up that spirit of hospitality as a spiritual influencer. Yes. And once we discover our passion in doing this, we have a proper view of God and ourselves. And we're ready for action. We're ready for duty. Because you are a person of initiative, knowing where you're going. And at the moment, you became excited about becoming a spiritual influencer. If you trust and commit your plans to God, He will make the path for you. Proverbs 16, verse 9. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. I'm going to say Proverbs 16, verse 9. You can remember that. Maybe that's the line you memorized tonight. Remember, if you memorize it, you'll remember 100% tomorrow. Proverbs 16, verse 9. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. We all must have goals as spiritual influencer. Now, we hear over and over again, it kind of makes me sick, social media influencers who are, by the way, paid a lot of money, who start off small and then they end up making a lot of money. Well, I'm calling on all of you today to become spiritual influencers through In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. Can you do it? Are you committing to this? So what is the challenge in your life? What is it? Name it. Name it in the car, in the kitchen, in the nursing home, in the prison, wherever you're at. I want you to name the challenge in your life. Maybe you're scared. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you have fear. Asking you to think of one dream you have. One. Now, it may be, I want my children to come back to church. I'm praying for my sister to be healed, whatever. I want you to say it out loud. Think of one dream you have. Now, brainstorm a list of things that would have to happen in order for you to achieve this dream. Now, it may be, oh, I've got to win the lottery. I have to get an annulment. I have to go to a prayer group. I want you to brainstorm and list all the things that you have to do to reach that goal, to reach that challenge in your life. Now, I want you to also ask why you're doing this. Do you have integrity? Now, integrity is a commitment to live consistently with what you know to be true about your life. Yes. It's a desire to be usable to God. How many times do we shy away from the process of becoming usable? Trust me, at my age, I have many times shied away from the process of becoming usable out of fear of failure. Trust me, this is when we ask the Lord to forgive us for not stepping up to the plate because he wanted to use us. And we said, oh, no, maybe he wants to use you in a soup kitchen. And you're saying, no, I don't really want to do that. I don't want to go there. Maybe he's asking you to help in the church, clean the altar. Maybe you don't want to do that. Maybe he's asking you to bring cookies to your prayer group or Bible study. You think that God wouldn't use you? He uses you to do that. Be persistent by taking one more step. And too often we quit too soon. Again, I've lived this. I quit too soon, right before the blessing. And so if you're listening today and you feel like quitting, don't. You may be needing one more step. One more step. We want to become heroines or heroes, but we don't want to be heroic. Wow. We all want to be Joan of Arc or Thomas Aquinas. We want to be heroines or heroes, but we don't want to be heroic. Now, think about that. We don't want to step up to the plate and be heroic. That's sacrificial. Now, think about this. Sometimes the starting line is the quitting line. I know somebody who has asked for prayer who wants to leave her job, wants to retire. She's tired, but she's scared. Sometimes the starting line is the quitting line. I want you to think about that now. Is my starting line to become a spiritual influencer my quitting line? Is it? That's pretty profound if you think about it. Is my starting line my quitting line? After the break, we'll return, so stay with me as we face life as it is and how to become a person of spiritual influence. God bless you and stay with me. We have so much more to cover.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done. Heard every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. on this amazing network, WPMR, 800 a.m. on the dial. Or you can tune into iHeart or Odyssey Radio if you're not in the Philadelphia market. So be sure to tell your friends, because this is one amazing Catholic radio network which has been on the air actually over 50-plus years. Not one broadcaster is paid. It is all volunteer. And God is working a powerful, powerful work with this network. So I ask that you share the word with all who listen. So we were talking about, you know, I want to say it again. After 24 hours, you may remember 5% of what you hear, 15% of what you read, 35% of what you study, and 57% of what you see and hear, but 100% of what you memorize. Did you know that? Now, I want you to think about this. Sometimes the starting line is the quitting line. I said that before the break. So you have to perform diligently. You have to perform earnestly. You have to perform strenuously. You have to stay in the race, to take the hit. The core of intensity is your ability to stay. It's your staying power. Remember, you don't want to whine and say, I'm out of here. You have to stay in the fight to take the hits. If you're learning to become a spiritual influencer, keep your eyes on the finish line. See, God doesn't need your ability. He needs your availability. I have a plaque that I always had in my offices before I retired. Someone gave it to me, and I could not possibly remember. It had to be over 40 years ago. With this, God doesn't need your ability. He needs your availability. Now, you don't just have a ministry as a spiritual influencer. You are the ministry. You are the ministry. We need to understand you are part of a great commission from heaven. So if you're listening for the first time today, you're part of a great commission to be people of spiritual influence, to make disciples, to use your gifts. You might be an accountant. You may cook great Italian dinners. You may be a cleaner. You may be a construction worker. You may be a lawyer. Go tell the people about Jesus. Be a proclaimer. Now, Corinthians 10, verse 23 states, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Well, that's kind of common sense, isn't it? Corinthians 10, verse 23. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Do you know that? So tonight, I want you to write a prayer. You write a prayer in that little dollar store notebook. List the areas you'd like to grow in, asking for the Lord's help this Lent. Ask Him. Now put the prayer in an envelope addressed to yourself. Put a stamp on it. Seal it and stamp it. And ask a friend to mail it to you after 6 months. Watch how God works. That's the beauty of journaling, of writing notes to the Lord in your journal. But write the prayer today. Might be two lines. It doesn't have to be an epistle. List areas in your life you'd like to grow as a spiritual influencer, asking the Lord for help. Put the prayer and the list in an envelope addressed to yourself. Seal it and put a stamp on it. Ask a friend to mail it to you after 6 months. And watch how God works. Watch how He works. You will be astounded. You see, people sail through life never faced with life and death decisions, right? We in the Western world can easily give lip service to all kinds of causes, principles. We become lazy in our faith, and we may hope that it comes right down to what we would say. I would rather die than break my faith. Would you rather die than break your faith? I would know what to live for. You need to know and identify what to live for. Yes. And if you're a Catholic, the sacraments. The sacraments. If you're not Catholic, your faith. Maybe you think about becoming a Catholic. Those special love letters from the Lord. Do you remember St. Thomas More in A Man for All Seasons? Do you remember that? Do you remember that book? Maybe read in high school or maybe later on in life. He was faced with execution. And he was asked by the king and his court to take back his views of the king's divorce and remarriage. And his family came and asked him to change his views because he would be killed. And More replies, when a man takes an oath, he's holding his own self in his hands like water. And if he opens his fingers, then he needs hope to find himself again. I believe, as a spiritual influencer, that to deny your convictions is to deny yourself. Rejecting the passion we've been given will make our lives meaningless. What so beats in your heart today that if you were to vanish tonight, you would no longer be you? Like Jeremiah, you can discover your passion. And Jeremiah said, if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it in. I cannot. That's Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet, a spiritual influencer. He was a proclaimer of God's truth. Now, even if the people didn't respond, and if you read the book, they didn't. Sacred scriptures, they didn't respond to him. He still proclaimed. And when he got tired of the poor results and wanted to quit, what did he do? He still proclaimed. Even his body would react if he didn't proclaim, because he was born to be a proclaimer, what we talked about in the beginning of this program. What were you born to be? Now you can discover the passion that God designed uniquely for you, my friend. And what is on your mind as you go to sleep at night and then first thing in the morning? And when you sit for those rare quiet moments and daydream, where do your thoughts take you? What movies bring you to tears? And what injustices make your blood boil? And when you read God's word, that's right, God's word, are there common themes in the verses you mark? What breaks your heart? Have you discovered what it means to live and to love life? Say yes or no. God promises to lift us up to our high place. You have the opportunity to say with the prophet Habakkuk, "The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places." I'm sure many of you have read Hinds' Feet. Probably 20 years ago I read it. Passion will carry you to high places. It's when you're there in the place of your passion that you can say, "Oh, I know who I was born to be." That passion, it works. When you find that which breaks your heart that Christ placed in you, then you'll find your passion. That's right, you'll find your passion. Some of us have fallen prey to lies about ourselves, haven't we, and our relationships, and we have to really face them head on. Head on. Make your prayers as a spiritual influencer more concrete by writing it out as a letter to Jesus. That's why we want the inexpensive notebook. "Dear Jesus, I just can't get a handle on this spiritual influence stuff. I don't understand it. Can you help me? Can you help me choose a good Christian book or a special scripture?" Go on a prayer walk, talking to the Lord as you walk along. Perhaps you live near a retreat house, or there are places where you can just pretend you're doing the Stations of the Cross. Pray through sacred scripture. Write out verses. Personalize them with your name. In Psalm 84:11, "No good thing does he withhold from," and put your name in, "who walks uprightly." Now, I know that many of you who are listening have had vision boards, a lot of vision boards. They're your dreams, the things you want. You put them on a vision board. Certainly, Gen Z and younger people have done this. Develop a spiritual influence poster board with the Bible verses that you want to touch your life, and maybe nothing is touching your life today. Mark up your Bible. Use a yellow marker, mark it up. Sing for your entire time with God. Play Christian praise music. There's music called elevation music that young people love to hear and I love to hear. Why don't you begin a miracle scrapbook? Now, you probably have a scrapbook of your kids' baseball games, soccer games, lacrosse. Make a miracle scrapbook. It just might be one word where maybe you handed a dollar to a homeless person. And praise Jesus. "Jesus, you're amazing." Think back and picture your life before you were a Christian or a spiritual influencer. What did Jesus save you from? Yourself? Write your own subtitles over each chapter number in your Bible. Maybe this Lent you can fast from food, TV, or a hobby in order to spend a longer time with God. Write about your relationship with God from a different point of view. For example, maybe your teenager son says, "Mom, my mom, she's radical. She has a radical walk with Jesus. She gets so stoked, excited, makes me sick. She's like over the edge." Maybe they say that. But write about that relationship with your son in your little notebook. Then write and thank those people in your life, in your notebook, who helped you grow in your walk this year. Not your whole life. This year, this Lent. Or maybe you write to mentors from the past. Just a thank you note, thinking of you, praying for you. Thank you for all that you've done for me. Maybe it would be great if you go to church early. Now, I don't care if you're whatever denomination you are listening today. Go to church early. Walk the rows, sit in different places, and pray for others who'll sit there later. And maybe at home, instead of all the nonsense of something called Christian yoga, which is non-existent, you can exercise to Christian music. And tell one person who doesn't know Christ that you do know and love. Can you do that? Can you do that? Now, throughout the book of John, Jesus keeps saying, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the living water. I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So whatever your needs are today, Jesus himself is the answer to those needs. Whenever you're feeling vulnerable and weak, and it may be at this moment, go to the Psalms, my friend. Go to the Psalms. They will nourish you and feed you. I share this all the time with my family. And when you really feel overly dependent on your friends, you'll run the risk of quenching your obedience to God. We can also develop bad friendships and patterns that isolate us from future relationships. It could be a joy and blessing. But you need to understand relationships are essential for our well-being. We need to learn the difference between healthy interdependence and destructive dependence. And we shared that early. Remember, interdependence says, I'll be there for you. Dependence says, you can't do without me. See, the Bible lists many principles for how we should relate to one another. If we work on these principles as a framework for our dealings with people, we'll be so far ahead because the principles personalize the character of God to others. That's right. It personalizes the principle. Now, we need to be determined as spiritual influencers to either resolve or forgive. Now, think about that. The situation that you're in today, we need either to resolve it or forgive it. And whatever you do, don't allow the criticism that'll smack you in the face to sidetrack you from God's plan for you. So if you are a spiritual influencer, expect criticism. It goes with the role. And there are people who do, people who follow, and people who complain about those who do and follow. Now, if you're on the front lines right now in a battle, you take the hits. Take them. Those resting in the barracks in the back aren't on the firing line as you are, right? And think about them. And in making things happen, you stir up the status quo as a spiritual influencer. And in stirring up the status quo, some people's comfort zones go out the window. And what happens? That kissing cousin to gossip is criticism, and it starts, doesn't it? It starts. Now, I hope you're staying with me because I want you to become a person of spiritual influence. When God wants to get our attention, my friends, things often get worse before they get better. Oh, no. As someone who has lived it and in ministry, and I'm sure all the broadcasters on this radio network know, if God wants our attention, it often gets far worse. Sometimes the winds, the earthquake, and the fire, well, you can only begin. They start in our souls, and we've been burned out. And God uses this time to get our attention, doesn't he? And sometimes he shakes the foundation of our lives so we can see what we've been standing on. And sometimes his fire purges our heart of thoughts, plans and desires that are really unhealthy. So do you remember God asked Elijah, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah repeated the exact same answer as before. But God didn't accept it this time. He recommended Elijah and gave him a reality check. God restored Elijah's hope by reminding Elijah, "You're called and needed. I have a plan for your safety. You're not alone. How is the network that will support you?" And here it is. Often when we're burned and burned out, it's because we aren't believing one of those statements. Intensity is necessary for you to become a spiritual influencer. Intensity, not milquetoast, not here, there, everywhere. Now's the time. Jesus left this world and he gave you, me, and everyone listening and those who aren't listening the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching to obey everything. I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's Matthew 18, verses 18 to 20. No, it's Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. This command is for every person who knows Jesus Christ personally. He didn't say, "Oh, by the way, only pastors, only radio broadcasters, only those with healing ministries." He didn't say that. He didn't say only pastors should make disciples, or only directors, or ministries, or executives. And you might be asking, "Well, I'm just an ordinary person." Every Christian person is to be a spiritual influencer. We are all called to make disciples of all who we encounter. Did you know this? It's time to get off our laurels. You and I must decide when and with whom we are called to influence. Are our gifts and talents being used only for momentary popular recognition? Or is our spiritual influence carving out influence for Christ for generations to come? Who are we living for? Ask yourself. Are we living for ourselves? The master craftsman who made us? You are a person of influence. Jesus is working on you now to make a difference. He's working on you now. And I'm going to ask you a really tough question. What do you want? And I asked this about a year or so ago, and I remember this. What do you want written on your headstone when you die? What do you want written? Now, write down tonight 5 sentences that capture what's on your heart. Then I want you to make a list of people who need your spiritual influence given through you. Choose one person or one group and create a plan for being a person of spiritual influence. Can you do that? Now, what do you want on your headstone? Think about that. It's pretty powerful because that's a legacy to your family, to strangers. That's your legacy. What do you want written? You don't want just your name and your birth date and your death date. You want words that really, really show you were. Maybe you'll write, "I was a spiritual influencer." Ask God tonight to list the areas and help you to grow in and ask for his help. Can you do that? Can you do that? Can you ask him to help you to grow as a spiritual influencer tonight? Now, I'm actually going to read this. It's from a book given to me in the 1970s. I've read this before. There are so many posts in it from Father John Lozansky, who used to come to this area to give healing retreats, and he was from Boston, and it's called Signpost on the Road to Success. And he wrote September 1982. He wrote, "This will make you a winner, Anne. Read it and reread it until you die. Find it as a treasure with blessing and love." Success is yours. Come and get it. Father John Lazansky, OFM. Now, I remember pulling this out of a cabinet of hundreds of books, and I forgot about it. So I'm going to read something that's pretty profound, and I hope that if you're just tuning in for the first time, for the hundredth time, no matter who you are and where you are, where your faith journey is, God is calling you to be a spiritual influencer. So in this little booklet called Signposts on the Road to Success, and I believe it's no longer even published, is this story called Facing Life as It Is. Don't say if things were different, I would do something. Do something with them as they are. Facing your life as it is now and winning is the object. When things go hard and money stops coming in, or you lose your job and everything goes wrong, take account of stock. See what is wrong. See what you've forgotten and go on and conquer. Go on and conquer. We dream what we would do if, dot, dot, dot. Now wipe out the if. Dream and do it regardless of circumstances. You say, that cannot be done. It can be done. There's no can't about it. The man who wills to do it, who puts up the fight, and is willing to do the work can put it over. A young man discovered a vein of gold high up in the mountain. Oh, he needed power. He needed money. He needed to know how to develop it, and he struggled and worked and failed. And sitting down one night after a long, hard day, tired, clear through and through, he said to himself, I know where my difficulty is. I don't know anything about this rock. I don't know anything about geology, and I certainly know nothing about mining. And I'm going down to the city and find out. He came down to the city and went to the head of the mining department in the university, laid the case before him. The professor called up to a mining engineer. He met the young man. The young man told his story. The engineer said that he must go and see the vein. It took about a week to get there. After the engineer had seen it, he said, there are millions there, but it will cost you a great deal to get it out and to develop it. And you'll have to organize a stock company or sell it. Which will you do? The young man said, I'm going to develop it. It took him a year of hard training and study, and he gave himself utterly to it. Through the long winter months, he drove himself until after the springtime came, he had acquired the knowledge that he needed. It made him millions. The trouble with too many people is that they want to get it too easily. Most of us say, if I had a chance, but circumstances were against me, I don't have an education. I don't have the pull. We lay our failure to the lack of opportunity. The other fellow handicapped worse than we made opportunities. He fought until opportunities came to him. Success belongs to the man who simply wills to do it. He is the man who makes success come his way. The fellow who lies down and says, I can't do it, is a failure. Never lose heart because the first efforts fail. Go back and find the reason. Pick up the wreckage of old failures and build them into success. You can do it. You can become a spiritual influencer. My friends, until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. And remember, Jesus is calling you, no matter who you are, no matter what faith you are, to be a spiritual influencer. He wants you to proclaim him. He wants you to serve him. And he wants you to receive his love. Can you do that today? In Jesus' holy name, I pray for all who are listening that your prayer petitions will be answered. Amen. God bless you.
Be alert. Stand firm. trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.